Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here tonight on the Sedona Connection, and it's nice to be back. Wow. What was it? Last week, we weren't able to run the program. You notice I had put the notice on the Blog Talk Radio site as well as on, you know, my blog site at the Sedona Connection. When I check in about 15 minutes before airtime, and that's when I make sure everything is set up, the microphones are working fine, make sure the test is going fine. And I was, even at that point in time, I thought, gee, the background music isn't going out. And then when it came time to go on the air, it was just a bunch of screeching and squelching. And after about, you know, 30, 45 seconds of that, folks, I just had to take us off the air. I did get in touch with Blog Talk Radio. I asked them, I says, hey, folks, what was going on here? They did send me back an email, and they had said that the interference was on their end. Now, they never told me why. So basically what it means is there wasn't anything I was doing on my end here. I was not the one that was creating the problem. So we had that last week. And then remember 2 weeks prior to that, we were 27 minutes into the program and I thought, boom, shut off. Now, part of that is when you have internet radio and you're going and you're doing this over the internet. And yes, I mean, it's basically, it's a cost issue. I mean, it costs thousands of dollars to be able to come in to have 2 hours on a regular radio program. We're here on Blog Talk Radio. I get to have 2 hours a day. I could run this program every day of the week if I wanted to. I don't want to. You don't want to listen to me 7 days a week either. You guys got to be somewhat delusional if you think you can listen to me 7 days a week. I have trouble just listening to myself sometimes. No, not really, but I do enjoy doing this. So we do this once a week, Wednesday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific time. It's 9 p.m. on the East Coast. And right here, it's 7 here in Sedona, Arizona. And folks, I'm doing the show solo tonight, which means my host who runs the, you know, usually runs the switchboard for me, Penny, she's not available tonight. So those of you that are out there, in the chat room, would you please do me a favor? I can see Beth Dixon, Bob, you're out there, and then there's a guy by the name of Funky Duffer. Would any of you three please type up a message for me and tell me how my sound is coming across? Because I can do a sound check before I come on the air, but once I'm on the air, I have no idea how it's sounding out there. And sometimes I use my cell phone, and sometimes I come through the computer on Skype. And the cell phone was a little scratchy tonight, so tonight I'm on Skype coming through the computer. That's how I come to you. But one of you three out there, either Beth, Bob, or Funky Duffer, would you just please give me a little note? Oh, thank you, Beth. You're saying I'm sounding great. That's all I need to know. And then those of you that are there in the chat window, you can kind of be my helpers tonight. If something goes wrong, if something comes up, then just send me a note on the chat window. But I have to admit, I may not see it right away. So if you have to keep sending it time after time after time to get my attention, you know, because most of my focus is on the switchboard, not on the chat window. But so thanks again, folks. Well, tonight's program, I've got three things I'm going to talk about. And then after that, I'll open up to callers. First thing I want to do is, you know, you've been with me for the last couple of weeks. Many of you saw, and I've sent the YouTube video to all of you, that I was on the Discovery Channel on Sunday night, and it was called Uncovering Aliens, and it was a program that was done here in Sedona. Now, I think some of I had mentioned to some of you folks, I didn't go around looking for this to happen. And if you've seen the program, I'm in about the first 3 to 5 minutes. And the very beginning of the program, there was a group of us that met at a hotel here in Sedona. There was about 30 people there. And I come out and I say, you know, I'm kind of the unlikely guy to be talking about this kind of stuff. But I had been at a point in time in my life, through my experience of serving 12 years in the legislature, that I got tired of what I call the dishonesty and the corruption and being lied to as an elected official when I tried to get information. And I'm not really big into UFOs. That's not an area of specialty for me. But my mother had some experiences when I was a little boy, and I always trusted her. And I have on occasion times I've seen them. And I've always wondered, why are they lying to us about it? Why do they keep, you know, lying about this stuff? Well, then it was back in February of last year that I actually had a huge sighting when I was living down in Cottonwood. And I caught part of that on video. It was what we called a starship, and it was a big, huge one, and it would come and go, and it would change colors, and it would change locations, and it appeared off and on for over 35 minutes, and I got about a little over 2 minutes of that on a YouTube video. And if you want to see it, you can go to YouTube, and then you put in my name, and you'll come to my channel, and if you scroll through all the videos in there, you'll see the one that says, you know, Cottonwood, Arizona, the UFO sighting, and it's in February. I have about 15,000 people that have viewed it, and it was through that. Folks had said, you know, in April, when Discovery Channel was here in Sedona, so they were having this meeting, says, you need to go show up. So I showed up, and the rest was history. And you saw the program was there. And Sunday night's program was basically a preview. They wanted to test this out and to see what was going to be the audience reaction. And what I'm hearing so far is that it has been very, very positive. The ratings were far higher than anything they had expected. It had a higher rating than the show that was on the previous hour, and that was, you know, the Finding Bigfoot. And this was just the Sedona segment. And there was... I was told originally there was going to be 6 segments. I've now found out there are 4. And it was earlier today, now I haven't had this confirmed, but earlier today it appears they're going to go ahead and run the whole 4 segments again. And it looks like they're going to be starting sometime in late January. Now, what's the issue? See, to me, this ties in also with what we're doing here on the Dinar. The real issue around this for me, it's about a government that we have that basically lies to us, that covers things up, that doesn't tell the truth, that manipulates things behind the scenes. And it's about the people that I call them the cabal. Others call them the Illuminati. Others call them the New World Order, whatever name you want to give to them. They're people who are addicted to power and control and wealth. And their job, from what they see it, now let me rephrase that. Not their job. They think they have the right to control the world. And they have for centuries, if not millenniums, controlled the human race. For centuries, they've kept us in what's called economic slavery in one form or another. And their power has always come around from 2 things. Number one, they keep us ignorant. They control the information. They don't allow us to have access to the information. Number 2 was they would create events to keep us in fear, to keep the masses in a position of fear. Because if they can control us with fear, and if they can control the money, then they can control the world as they see that they want to do that. And here's what's happening. It's all starting to change. What has changed is where you and I are right here. On the internet, can you imagine what it used to cost to have a radio program like this on regular radio airwaves? You were very selective in what programs were available. You didn't really get much. Sometimes you used to have the late night programs with Art Bell, you know, and come in the middle of the night. And Art Bell would come in the middle of the night because he could afford. That was the only time he could afford to be on a regular program for things like this. But here we have the internet. And this is called Blog Talk Radio. And I can do this program 2 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it costs me basically about $50 a month to do this. And I can do this even if I'm only talking to myself. And I do get the numbers of how many people listen to the program each week, and I want to thank you folks, but we're educating ourselves. The people are beginning to rise up. The people, the masses, are beginning to wake up. We're not having to be dependent upon a mainstream media that controls the information, that controls what it is we learn, that controls our education system, that controls our entertainment industry, that controls our finance industry, that controls and buys our government through their money, their power, their money, and the corporations. We are able to bypass all of that and learn this from ourselves. When I was in politics, folks, I used to be a fairly conservative politician. I was a Republican. And I've gone through a complete shift and change in my life in the last, 5 to 7 years. And what brought the change was because I broke away from what I call the tribe. I broke away from the influence of who taught me what and what I'd listened to, where I went to school, and my own education system, because I started asking my own questions. And when I started asking my own questions, I began to realize I could find answers. And I found those answers on the internet. It was about 4 or 5 years ago. I went through a period of time where for about a year and a half I wasn't working. And I spent hours a day watching YouTube videos, and one thing would lead to another. And that all started for me when someone had challenged me about the whole situation of 9/11, that 9/11 was a false flag. And that's just what really began to open me up. Now, I was changing politically. My last 4 years in the legislature, I was a Republican. I was fairly conservative. And by the time I was done with my four-year term in the state Senate, I was the most liberal Republican in the state legislature. I changed my life because I gave myself permission to ask questions. Well, that's what happens with us here too. We give ourselves permissions to ask questions. And we start asking questions about who's controlling this world. What influence are they having on me? Why are they beginning to do this? And we allow ourselves to be open to those answers within ourselves. That's what changed my life. And so I've stepped into this Uncovering Aliens TV program. And if you've seen the program, I'm the state senator who says the government lies to us. They've been lying to us about UFOs. And folks, they lie to us also about who controls our money supply. Many of you know, if you listen to this program, you've heard me say it. I'm sure you've read it somewhere else. It's the Federal Reserve here in the United States that controls the United States money supply. They have the ability to print up money at will anytime they want. And they control the monetary policy of the United States, which in essence controls the monetary policy of the rest of the world. They don't legally control the central banks around the world, but they have power and influence over almost all of the central banks around the world. And here's the thing that most of us who listen to this program know, but a lot of the public does not. The Federal Reserve is not a government agency. It is a privately owned corporation controlled by four predominant banking families. And they are the ones that, in essence, are running the financial and fiscal policy for almost the whole world. You think that's not a controller? See, that's another thing that needs to come out. It's as we begin to change, as we begin to question, we will begin to change our world. I was watching a little YouTube spot earlier today where on Jon Stewart, he had on his guest was Robert Reich. Now, Robert Reich used to be the Secretary of Labor under President Clinton, and he now teaches economics at Cal Berkeley. And he had come on and he had talked about the inequality of our economics, of what's happening, where the middle class is going away. And Jon Stewart, it says, well, if you've got all these people who control all this money and this 1% has all of this power, because 1% of the people in the United States are making 23% of the money. 1% is making 23%, and they are becoming more and more wealthy, and the middle class is more and more getting shut out. And there's a method to why the controllers want to do that. But he says, but how do you then change that? It does come from the people, but here's what happens. We go through cycles of what is called social unrest. We tolerate it for a season until it comes to the point where more and more of us end up getting squeezed. We get squeezed by the powerful and the wealthy, and we rise up. Even though their money can influence votes at Congress, they don't buy our votes at the ballot box. Corporate money doesn't buy my vote at the ballot box. I choose my vote. I get to privately, in the privacy of a ballot box or in the privacy of a ballot in my home if it's sent to me in the mail, I get to choose who I am going to vote for and who I want. My experience I've seen is where you are seeing this, the what I call the social unrest, not the civil unrest, but the social unrest, we are beginning to see an increase of that taking place. It usually starts where smaller groups are civil, and we did have what was called, you know, the Wall Street issue, you know, I'm going blank on the term, a couple of years ago. But people are beginning to wake up. They're more concerned. They don't like what's going on. The approval ratings of Congress are at an all-time low. Approval ratings of Congress, I think the latest I saw was around 12%. That's absolutely horrible. But here's what we've had. We've always had these problems with Congress having a low approval rating. But the problem is we turn right around and we vote the same people back into office. And people will say, well, it's not my congressman, it's somebody else's. But here's what I think. It's not so much they think that it's not their congressman. It's because of the fact that they buy into a party. And they understand that the party can carry more weight than the individual. And even though they may not like their congressman, and they think that approval rating is very low, they would rather re-vote that congressman in and keep that party there than they would voting for a candidate of the opposite party. And that's the problem that we have when there's only a two-party system. And we come to a point to where we are in this country that we're basically gridlocked. Neither party can get to have what's called a dominating control. Neither one can do that. You can have, you know, you have the party of the president. And what we have right now is that the House of Representatives has a majority of an opposing party. And in Congress, you know, the party of the president holds the majority, but they don't have the 60 votes to break a filibuster control. So you see what happens is we get into this position of a gridlock. Neither one of the parties can make any advancement. So issues don't make advancement, and nothing really gets done. Well, I think the social unrest is growing. And it's time for a change. The people want the change. The people want the truth, whether it's the truth around UFOs, whether it's the truth around chemtrails, whether it's the truth around our money supply. The list goes on and on and on. They're getting tired of being lied to because they don't trust their government. They don't like the fact that there's this national security agency that records basically every single cell phone call that happens here in the United States. Now, fortunately, there was a court ruling by a federal judge this week said, NSA, you can't do that. You're violating the Constitution. And let me just take a little side note here, folks. It's that same basis. See, one single federal judge told a federal government agency, your actions are in violation of the Constitution. He basically told NSA, knock it off. You cannot blatantly, openly record a cell phone conversation of every person in America. It violates the Constitution of search and seizure. That's the power of a single federal judge. Now, there is a check and balance in the system, and that can be appealed by the federal government. And then from there, it would go possibly to the appellate court. And then if they want to take it there, they can take it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. But it shows you what a single federal judge can do. The side note is, I absolutely believe with the currency exchange, the reval, if the non-disclosure agreement is imposed, the same thing is going to happen, because it's going to be so out of line with what is common sense of the law and its inability to be enforced that all it's going to take is a single federal judge to say, Department of Homeland Security, your non-disclosure agreement is unconstitutional. And he'll throw it out. And that's why I don't think it carries much, very much weight. Now, let me come back to what I called the issue of the social unrest and the change and how it is that we want to bring change in our country. There, what I'm looking for is when social unrest comes to the point where the voters are willing to say, I'm going to vote for somebody different. I don't care what their party is. I don't care what their philosophy is. We need to make a change, and we need to collectively send a message, Congress, you're done. You're not solving the problems. You're only serving yourself. You're allowing the influence of money to have power and control your vote, and you're not operating in the best interest of the people. There is a single congressional race right now. There will be others possibly that could come up that I'm going to watch next year. And to me, this congressional race is going to be the barometer if social unrest is beginning to develop here in the United States. And that's a congressional district that's in Southern California. And a very well-known lady who is a very well-known speaker and author is running for Congress. And that's Marianne Williamson. I'm not here to be totally endorsing Marianne Williamson. That's not even the point. Here's the point. She is running in a Southern California district that includes Santa Monica and that area, which is a very wealthy district. It's one of the wealthiest congressional districts in the United States. She is running in that district against an entrenched incumbent Republican. But she's not running as a Democrat. She's running as an independent. She's going to let the voters, and she is well enough known as an author, and she will be able to raise enough money to be able to at least get some name ID out there for herself. And what she will able to do is that this is going to be the barometer if there really is social unrest developing in the traditional money strongholds. If this race, if she can win there, that is going to send a signal all across the country that the people want change. Because in a traditional, very wealthy Republican district, she comes in as an independent who is basically liberal in her politics, runs as an independent, and beats an entrenched incumbent Republican. The people are going to be able to say, I want something different. Enough is enough is enough. That's the race I'm going to be watching next year in the 2014 elections. So how the TV program, see, I feel part of my job of what I do here is to help raise awareness. Now, when it comes to the dinar issue, we know this is an issue, this is an event that has the ability to change the history of the world. There is nothing like this that has ever happened at any other time if it's going to come forward and when it's going to happen. There's nothing of this magnitude. And all of a sudden now, there will be massive millions of people who I call that are social conscientious people who will have enough money. If they want to, they can use their money to affect social change. And the money power people, they can have a lot of money, but we will begin to outnumber them. There will be millions of us who are millionaires, and we have the ability to make a change. That's why I think this stuff is where it is heading. Some of you send me emails. Some of you send me notices to read, blog sites to read, YouTube videos to watch. And there's one that a lot of you have been sending me, and it's by a guy by the name of Pastor Lindsey Williams. And Lindsey has these contacts with the old cabal. And you're saying, you're asking me, what do I think about Lindsey Williams? I think Lindsey Williams is a good man. I think a lot of stuff that he says is fairly accurate. But I don't agree with him that they're all going to happen. Why? Because Lindsey is still thinking that the cabal is in control, they're going to stay in control, and they're going to become more powerful. I think we're going the other way, folks. I think we're moving in the other way. If the RV only happened for the wealthy, then yeah, that it would keep them in foreign control, and we wouldn't have a large enough massive base of having enough money to be able to basically affect change. But that's why I don't agree with Lindsay, because I think that cabal is running out of steam. I think they're becoming neutered, is a term that I have used, and I think they're beginning to run out of power. I see us moving into a new age. See us that this is a change in consciousness that is rising up with the people, and we are beginning to educate ourselves. And this is the masks that are changing. And if you think this change isn't happening, start hanging out with people under the age of 30 and 35. They are the next generation that is going to change this world, and they are the ones that get it. They are the ones that see there is this wealth and this power of these few, and they're being shut out. They're being shut out of careers that they wanted to have, they thought they were being able to have. They're being shut out of a college education that they can't get without going massively into debt, so now they're into the debt slavery issue. I use the example of my own daughter. I mean, she spent 2 years to go out and get her master's degree in counseling, and it cost her almost $80,000 in student loans. I mean, can you imagine that? Does that tie you into? It ties you into a slavery of having to make these payments for almost 20 years just to get her a master's degree. That's what's happening. This young generation, they're sharp. They're wise. They're astute. They know what's going on. Give them another 5 to 10 years, and they will change our world. They will change our world. If my generation doesn't step up to do it, they will. They're going to start saying enough is enough. We don't trust our current political system. We don't trust our current banking system. We don't trust the current, medical system, because it's completely broken. And the list goes on. And the people will always eventually win. Robert Reich, on that program, he quoted Winston Churchill, who said, the American people always eventually get it right, and they always eventually do the right thing, only after they've exhausted every other resource. And that's kind of what we're trying. We're trying to say, gee, can I fix my world here? Can I change my world here? And it's not working, and then what's going to happen? We're going to come back, and we're going to find what is going to work is us generating the momentum collectively as a collective group saying enough is enough. So that's why I come out and I'm willing to be a whistleblower that says the government is lying to us about UFOs. And it's not so much about UFOs. It's the money that is behind it. If you watch the program, you heard what I had to say. When we come to the point of being willing to admit to ourselves, okay, UFOs are out there and they're real. The first question we have is, are they safe? Are they here to take over the world? Are they here to kill me and kill us? And folks, I would say absolutely not. If they were going to do that, they would have done it centuries ago. Their technology is so far advanced over ours. They could wipe us off the face of this planet in a heartbeat if they wanted to. They aren't interested in it because, number one, we don't really have anything that they want. We really don't. They would say, why would I want to step into that world that has so much chaos, so much war, so much pain, so much suffering, so much hatred? They're far more advanced in their consciousness than us. Now, let me say this. Are they all the same? No, they're not. There are massive numbers of different races of alien beings, but the vast majority of them are good, loving, highly conscious races. So after you've settled that question, are they safe? Then the next question we naturally ask is, how did they get here? What is the technology that they have that allows them to travel all across space at hyper speeds faster than the speed of light to come here to this planet. And so that's the question that a lot of people have. And as you saw on the show, what's been happening since the 1940s is our federal government has been using the crashed or downed UFO craft and has done what's called reverse engineering. And out of that has come massive amounts of new technology. But here's where the power and control of the cabal and the extremely wealthy comes into being. If the technology that allows those spacecraft to get here, if it becomes released to us, to the everyday people, it means the energy industry goes away. Because they tap into an energy source that is basically a free energy source. Now, some of you ask, how do they do that? I don't have all the answers, but here's how I understand it. They are able to tap into the electromagnetic field that surrounds the Earth. It's out there, it's in the air, it's all around us. They tap into that electromagnetic field and are able to take that energy and convert it into an electricity type of energy that we understand. You can go on YouTube and you can see all kinds of different prototypes that are there of our scientists here on Earth that have understood that, have been able to do that. And they can generate this little box that only costs about $10 to, you know, for the materials. They tap into the electromagnetic energy. They bring it into the box. That box is a converter. It taps into your fuse box, your power box in your home. And for $10, you can power your whole house for over 1 year. So you can basically have an unlimited amount of electricity for over $10. What does that do? That means there's an oil and petroleum industry that goes away. It becomes obsolete. It means there's a nuclear industry that goes away. It becomes obsolete. It means there is a coal industry that goes away. It becomes obsolete. All of our traditional forms of energy become obsolete. And the billions and billions and billions of dollars of those industries, they won't let that go away. They would rather stay in power and control than do what's right for the people. That's the issue on the UFO issue. That's the issue about the money control issue. It's all about a small, extremely powerful, ultra-wealthy group of people that want to control the world to serve them instead of serving us, the people, at a larger scale. So that's my wrap-up on that stuff. That kind of brings in what I think about, what you're hearing is my philosophy of where I've been and what happened with me being on the TV show, and also how it fits into some of the stuff that I do here, talking about the reval and the currency exchange. So what's happening on that topic? Let's go into the next step. A lot of stuff coming out in the last 2 weeks, and a lot of stuff saying it was going to happen, and a lot of stuff that just has not happened. If you're like me, there's a whole lot of us, we're just getting tired of the excuses. We're getting tired of the excuses. And I think some of these blog reporters, the blog writers, I want to be careful how I say this. I think they have good intention, but I think their sources are absolutely horrible. And their sources are using them, and they don't want to admit it. I'm not going to go into details about that. I'm not going to castigate anybody. I'm not going to point any fingers. But I am going to say there's some of them that are just being very irresponsible. Because I do get people who email me, and I do have people that I've been on the phone conversations with. And these are, I'm starting to get some really good intel sources of what's really going on behind the scenes. Out of respect to not giving out names and protecting those folks, I'm not going to give all the full details. But let me just say this. There are some of the blog writers that have an ulterior motive for what they're saying and what they're doing. And in time, it will be exposed. It just will. It will catch up with them, because I'm a firm believer we always reap what we sow. Whatever is our intention, whatever is what we believe in within our heart, what we really want to, and the intention of what we want to do, we reap what we sow, and it will catch up with us. And so some of this stuff has been so bad for so wrong, for so long. Here's where I have come to. I've come to the point, if I see something that's being posted, and it's primarily on Dinar Recaps, and it's giving a time frame, and it's going to happen here, or this is going to happen, I just don't trust it as a single source, as a standalone source from just one person. I don't care who comes out with it first. I just don't get it as a reliable source of information until I see it confirmed by two, three, or four others, and it's backed by some form of verifiable information. Because the bottom line is, a lot of this stuff that they say, they never give you verifiable information. Let me use an illustration. More than one of the blog writers in the last 3 and 4 days is saying, the RV has happened in country, it's happening in Iraq, it's on the Iraqi TV, it's scrolling along the bottom of the TV saying that it has happened. And they come out and they state it as though it is fact. And here it is. And yet what happens is it doesn't happen. And literally scores of people have access to satellite TV in Iraq. They don't see it. It's not happened. They do all of their research and they come back and say, it's not happening there. They have contacts, friends, family, business associates on the ground inside the country in Iraq. And nobody is saying that happened, but yet these blog writers keep saying it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. Here's a simple thing. All they have to do is, would you please pull out your cell phone and take a picture of the TV with what's on the TV with it scrolling along the bottom and send it to us. That's a verifiable piece of information. And if you notice, they never do it. They never do it. Now, the easy thing is to become angry. The easy thing is to become discouraged. The easy thing is to become depressed. The easy thing is to stay in anxiety. And what I have to say is, the important thing is to not allow yourself to go there. Don't allow yourself to go into a place of judgment, of anger toward them. Just let it be. You rise above the mental drama and keep yourself in the position of control. Keep yourself in the position of peace with your thoughts. Keep yourself in that peaceful condition. It allows you to continue on with your everyday normal life and not being filled with the roller coaster of anxiety and emotions in the chaos of the mind that is coming out of this situation. That's one of the most important things that you can do. Okay? Now, what I want to do now is the third thing. I want to talk about a phone conversation that I had with two gentlemen last night. Out of respect to them, I am not going to give their names, and I have to be very careful about some of the stuff that I'm saying. I'm going to talk about this for somewhere between 3 to 5 minutes, and then, folks, then I'll open up to the phone calls. So there's already a bunch of you there. If you want to talk, if you want to share something, if you have a question, now is the time to go ahead and press that number 1 on your touch-tone phone if you're already there. If you want to call in, the number is 646-716-8069. Again, that number is 646-716-8069, and you press 1 on your touch-tone phone. And right now, I don't have anybody that is saying they want to talk. So if you want to be one of the first ones, press that number 1 and you'll be the first one I'll bring on the line after I talk about this for a couple minutes. Well, as I mentioned, what's happening is the longer that I am either sending out the newsletters or having this radio program, I'm getting people who are calling me and giving me some really good information. When it comes to the reval, I've always said, the exchange rate, the rates that we are going to get, is going to be dependent upon who's footing the bill. There are trillions and trillions of dinar out there that somebody has to pay for, which is going to produce trillions and trillions of dollars. And there's three primary areas of how that money can come forward. If there's a limited amount of money and we're being dependent upon the money that is currently in circulation, and we're going to use what is called the current country's gross domestic product resources, then there isn't that much money out there to pay, and that rate is going to be very low. We could see a rate as low as 7 cents from anywhere up to around 80 to 86 cents if they use that source of the limited amount of money. If you move into the oil credits issue, then it's very possible to have an exchange rate that's in that $3.40 to that $3.86 range that is being reported by a lot of the blog writers. If that money is used, then yes, that is a very realistic rate that could come forward. The Iraqi dinar, before it was taken off the foreign exchange back in 1990, it was one of the most valuable currencies in the world. For decades, it has always come really close to paralleling the Kuwaiti dinar. And the Kuwaiti dinar, if I remember right, is currently at around 323, somewhere in that range. So when you see this 340 to this 346 range, that is a very realistic price range for the deal to happen at. Then the third source is, when they talk about these much higher rates, it comes back to what many of you heard me talk about, and that's the Dagon family in China that has all of this gold that the cabal wants to hide, doesn't want us to know it, or doesn't want to know it exists, because when that money comes out, they know they're done. It's their history. I'm a firm believer in them. I've had experiences where I've met one-on-one with the person who met with them, and he pulled a $30 million Federal Reserve bond out of his briefcase and let me hold it and look at it. That's when I realized this is for real. And this is a guy who had been meeting with the Dragon family, and that was a couple years ago. Well, last night, I had a phone conversation with two gentlemen who have been involved with the dinar now for about 8 years. And they gave me a lot of really helpful information that, to me, it just made sense. It just made sense. And they were giving me stuff that I could ask questions to have some sort of what I call viable verification. These people are in touch, and I'm not going to use the guy's name, but he's in Reno, Nevada. Some of you will already know who I'm talking about when I give the top guy at that location. But this was a gentleman who some years ago was the guy who went to China, met with the Dragon family, and arranged the private oil exchange credits, the original one that was talked about for years, if not months, up till around the summertime is when it was being talked about. He is the one that organized the private group rate exchange versus the street rate market rate on the exchange. And they are in touch with him on a regular basis. So once again, I was able to have a phone conversation with guys who are in touch on a regular basis with the guy who meets regularly with the Dragon family in China. And supposedly, this guy in Reno is the Dragon family's representative that will basically, if you want to use the term, push the button that releases the dinar money for us. And here's what's been happening. Here's some of the stuff that they relayed to me. Most of the stuff and the information that is coming out of the bloggers that are saying it's going to happen tonight, it's ready to go, we're 99% certain, we're going to be at the banks tomorrow, everything is ready. What they are saying is, their information is partially correct, but there's a lot of stuff that they are being misled on, and it's not completely true. And they are being purposefully misled. There are some of the groups that in these guys told me really have their finger on the pulse of what's happening. And they were reporting on a regular basis until the summer. For months and months, most of the bloggers were in the same camp of saying that the rates for the dinar was in the 340 to 350 range, and it stayed there for a long time. And they also said the dong was going to come out at around 47 to 48 cents. And they were all in agreement and stayed there for a long, long time. Then some of the bloggers started reporting that the rates were going up. It went up to $5, to $8, to $10, to $20, and it went all the way up to saying it was $38, $42. When that started happening, it created a real division and a split in the blogging community. And the two guys that I talked to, he said their sources, because it created so much chaos, they just backed off and they just quit reporting. And they said they aren't going to play the game. They're not going to get caught into the game of finger pointing. They're not going to get caught into the game of he said, she said, he said, who said, what said. And they're just not going to go there because it doesn't change anything. And all it does is create more chaos. And this says, you know, I don't know what. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. And they've pretty much gone quiet. But these two guys says these are the people that are really in the know. And here's what I can share that they are reporting. Yes, the oil credits are still very real. And yes, there is going to be a private contract rate that will come through an 800 number. And yes, there will be a market rate. The market rate is the rate that is posted on the open foreign exchange computers, trading computers. And if you walk into a bank and go up to a teller window and want to change your dinar, you'll get the market rate. And what they are saying, the current market rate is 386. Now that's what's reported on the blog sites predominantly from TNT Dinar and some of the others. They're saying there is a market rate at 386, but they're saying that the higher rate on the contract rate with the oil contract credits exchange, it's not way up there. It's not. And the reason is because there are thousands of trillions of dinar out there to cash in. And they're saying that rate does change on a day-to-day basis, but not a lot. But as of yesterday, it was at $5.16. And that is the rate that most of the people, if they call an 800 number and go in for an appointment, that's what they will get. Now, is there an NDA in that? They did not say. They were not aware of it. Now let me tell you one other thing that I can share. There are three different tiers of when people are exchanging. If you remember back in July and August, there were reports that a lot of the big wigs, were exchanging. The tier one people were exchanging. And what they told me is that, yes, they did. But those were not individuals. They were governments. They were governments that had basically bought dinar, and they had exchanged their dinar, some of it for oil credits, some of it for cash, but the cash has not yet been released. That's the way I understand it. Then there was a second tier. The other thing that they told me before I talk about the second tier is there is more than one form of Iraqi currency that is out there. And there are problems that some of the currency has been counterfeited, and they are having to weed out the counterfeited currency. Now, and what they had said is, when you go in and you exchange your dinar, it's extremely important that you take your receipts with you. If you purchased your dinar from an online certified broker, you have your receipt, you're absolutely fine. If your dinar is brand new, uncirculated dinar, and it's in a serial number sequence, you're in great shape. Those are not going to be the ones that are counterfeited. But when they did the second tier, and these were the people that were cashing in 2 and 3 weeks ago that we were hearing about, yes, they were bigwigs. Yes, some of them were elected officials, but the vast majority of them were people that were a part of the Bush-Cheney administration that were the ones that basically organized the dinar exchange, the dinar revalue. And they had a ton of dinar to exchange. But also intermingled in with that was a high probability of some counterfeited currency. So they wanted to move into the second tier so they'd bring this money in and it would weed out the counterfeited currency. They needed to do that. They needed to take large sums, large groups of people who were early into this process and where some counterfeited currency had seeped into it. They needed to bring all that in so they could weed out the counterfeited currency before they can move to Tier 3. And that's what happened in the last couple of weeks. And the way that it was reported to me is, folks, these people, I don't know if they got higher rates. They didn't share that with me. But here's what I do know. They don't have access to their money. They were given what was called SKRs, safekeeping receipts. They were given a receipt for their dinar. It was placed in special bank accounts, and those accounts are frozen. They cannot use that money until we get to start cashing in our dinar. So on one hand, yes, it appeared they had special treatment, but on the other hand, really, they didn't. And when I was talking on the phone with them, I said, how many members of Congress do you think that did this? And they don't know everything. They're not total experts on it. And they said, well, every one of them. And I says, I don't think that's right. I says, because I feel personally am on a first-name basis with 10 members of Congress. And I have a personal friend whose daughter worked for a congressman here in Arizona. And I've got information coming from them. But let me tell you something else that I experienced in my years in the legislature. When you serve at a congressional level or a state legislative level, and you are a partisan office holder, and there is this desire by all the elected officials of each party to have the majority, you are always trying to win the majority. The minority party is always trying to capture the majority. And you are always going to be looking somebody on the other side of the aisle to do something wrong that you can find them to get a gotcha situation that you can use against them in the campaign. And we know that. It was like for 12 years I had this feeling that I always was kind of looking over my shoulder and asking who's out to get me, who wants me, who's going to try to get me for something they can use against me in the campaign. So we were always very cautious. And in being very cautious, we knew the biggest trip up that where they would get us is misuse of money. And that's where they would attempt to get us. And so these members of Congress know if they're being given special treatment on exchanging their dinar, the vast majority of them are running the other way unless they don't plan on running again. So I just don't think there were that many members of our U.S. Congress that have exchanged their dinar. Because if they did and anybody found out about it and any reporter got a hold of it, they can kiss their careers goodbye. You would be angry if they all hadn't had these millions of dollars of special treatment. And if you knew that information, you would have a gold mine to run against them in a campaign. See, that's why I don't think there's many of the members of Congress. What I think it was former administration Bush-Cheney administration people that they allowed to come through so they could get the Tier 2 people out of the way. And then we, you and I, the everyday folks here, we're the Tier 3. And that's the next one that they say is ready to go. The money is there. The cabal, I mean, the money from the Dragon family has been put into the banks, and there's just a few little things that they have to get done. Last night, when I was talking with these two gentlemen, I says, based on your information that's coming from these sources in Reno who have the contacts with the Dragon family, how long do you think before we're going to see the Iraqi dinar exchange, the revalue? And they said about 48 hours. But they gave a condition. They said it is possible to be done in the next 48 hours. So basically it's 24 hours from tonight. It says, but if it does not happen in that time frame, it will probably be delayed until after the first of the year. Now, here's what they said is happening. There are it's not just as simple as going in and exchanging your currency at the bank level. Because of the size of this, because of computer programs that are involved, they have to have these specific bank codes to be able to track the money. Now, what I mean by tracking the money, it doesn't mean it's a big brother coming after us. They have to have an accounting for it. And they have to have specific codes within the banks. It's taking a while to get these codes established for you and I, the everyday folks. It was one thing when they could bring in a few thousand that they did a couple of weeks ago. It's going to be different when they open it up to 5 to 10 million. That's what's different. And they said that's what has to be done, and they are working on that, and that is about ready to be released. Now, that's what these people told me. And they said most of the information, that is the hype information, those that are on the hopium trail, if you want to call it that, which was some are saying, part of that information is accurate, and part of it is not. Now, I'm going to say something. What I'm going to say here is just my opinion. I think most of the bloggers have good intention, but I also think they haven't done their homework to check out the verification of sources. And they may think their sources are good sources, but for some reason their sources aren't giving them the full detailed information. And their sources are creating this constant delay, because of, I think they're wanting to delay things and create a distraction, because they are hoping and wanting more people to come in and buy dinar, because if more people come and buy dinar and they're hoping the Dragon family doesn't come through, means they had their dinar at a very high rate and our dinar will be diluted. It will go out in the open market and ours is diluted. And I think that's why they have been wanting to create this delay, and to get more and more and more people to buy dinar. Because if they are believing that there's a fixed and limited amount of money to pay for the exchange, then it means the dinar currency has to be put out there on the open floating market. And if there are hundreds of trillions of dinar to cash in by the 5 to 10 million people, it means its value is going to drop, because the value of it is all diluted based on a limited number of dollars. That's my opinion. That's just my opinion based on information that I've put together of thinking why there has been this constant delay, a distraction, and why they wanted to drag it out to get more and more people to keep buying. And as long as there was the continual hype of tonight, more people would continue to buy, more people would come in and buy. And what would it do? It would dilute the value of the dinar that has not been cashed in. And the real power brokers have already cashed in. Now, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I could find out I'm wrong on that at a later time. But for some reason, this chaos of the mind game, it just doesn't seem right. It just doesn't seem to hold water. So, folks, I went on a little longer tonight talking about these things. But I basically have caught up from almost, 3 weeks And I've been trying to work on for 3 weeks to get a handle, to figure out what's going on. But here's what I also believe, because some of you still come back and you ask me, is this real? Is this really happening? Is this really going to happen? And I absolutely, more than ever before, believe, yes, it is. Why? It's common sense that Iraq needs to revalue its currency. They are a war-torn country. They are almost on the verge of a civil war again. There's a lot of unrest inside that country. Their infrastructure has been absolutely devastated from the war. And if their currency doesn't revalue, they're going to stay in that condition. They will not have the money to basically bring their country back to what it was before the war in 1990. And they want to do that. They're a very proud people. Iraq is the birthplace of our civilization, our modern-day civilization here on Earth. It traces back 8,000 years to the Sumerians. They have a very deep pride in who they are, in their heritage, that they are basically the race that brought forth the human race here on the planet Earth, of where all everything that we have in our recorded history, how far it traces back. It traces back to the Samaritans 8,000 years ago. Now, is human race older than that? Yes, it is. But as far as what we call modern recorded history, it goes back 8,000 years to the Samaritans there in the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley, which is where Baghdad is, which is where the central part of Iraq is. They, in spite of the fact that Saddam Hussein was a ruthless dictator, for the average, everyday Iraqi citizen, life was actually pretty good because they had a very high standard of living. They had a very moderate standard of living. They had a great education system. They had a lot of abundance of food because the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley is one of the richest agricultural regions in the world. With all those two rivers and the water that flows through that area. They want to rebuild their country. They cannot rebuild until the dinar revalues, until they come back into being a member of the World Trade Organization, and until they can start selling their oil on an open market at a good rate, and until their currency is also at a good rate. And it's in their best interest to have that currency to be as high as possible. Because the higher their currency trades for us, the less of the cost of the imported goods they have to bring into their country to totally rebuild. That's why I think it's going to happen. It's not a question if the dinar is going to revalue. It's only a question of when and what is going to be the rate. And I was talking with a guy the other day. He said, you know, when I first came into this thing, it was only going to be around 8 cents. And I was happy with 8 cents. Then it went up to around 86 cents, and it held there for a long time, and I thought I was in heaven. And the next thing I know, it started working its way up to around the $3.40 mark, and it stayed there for a long time, and I was more than in heaven, and I was more than happy. And then when they started in the summertime, they started going up to $10, $20, $30, and $40, it just seemed bizarre. It just seemed crazy. Would I have liked to have had that? Oh, absolutely. But it just seemed weird. And I'm now at the point, there's just been so much chaos around this. I'm just happy to have it done. And folks, I think that's where most of us are. We'll just be happy to have it done, to know that even if it came in as a penny, we still had almost a 1,000% return on our money. Personally, based on what I've seen, the information I've gathered, the people that I've talked to, my own analysis of kind of trading, I think that 386 mark is a very realistic mark, and it's going to be somewhere in that area. And there will be some that will be able to take advantage of the contract rates, and they'll get a little bit more. And so one other thing, and then I'm going to go to the callers. They did ask me to say this. In spite of all the stuff that's been talked about, what to do, what they said is nobody knows exactly how it's going to happen until it happens. Don't worry about setting up bank accounts, closing those accounts, moving to new accounts, changing your emails, and all that kind of stuff. You may not have to do any of that stuff. Don't worry about the 800 numbers. They'll be released when they're going to be released. And don't worry about the NDA, because if they do enforce it, it will almost be just for the contract and not in the open market rate. But there was one other thing they did say. There's a lot of talk about going in and taking a single 25,000 dinar note and to immediately cash it in so you can have some operating cash and then waiting for your 800 number appointment. What they said is don't do that. They don't have the full details. Just don't rush, because if you go in and exchange at the market rate, you may default your ability to get the contract rate, because they do have the information. You will have to fill out the FinCEN report. And anybody who had filled it, that what they are saying is there's a high probability of anybody who has filled out a FinCEN report, you will not be eligible for the contract rate, which is going to be about a dollar and a half higher. Everybody needs to make their own decision. If it's so urgent for you and you're willing to give up that rate, but here's what they say, just wait and be patient until the information comes out. And don't assume it's going to be a certain way, because nobody really knows. Just be patient, wait, and don't call the banks. Leave them alone. Don't call the banks. That's what they told me to share with you guys. They said, make sure they understand that they may be giving up their opportunity to get a contract rate if they go in and cash a 25K note and have to fill out a FinCEN report. Okay? All righty. That's it for that. Let's go to some callers. Actually, I only have one person who's waiting to call. So if you want to talk, if you want to share, go ahead and start pressing that number 1. Again, the number 646-716-8069, and I'll bring you online. So right now, I'm going to go to the first caller, and it's area code 520. Area code 520, and then the first three digits is 300. You're on the line. How are you tonight? Who do I have here?
Hi, Dave. It's Tricia in Tucson calling.
Hi, Tricia. How
great.
Are you?
I'm good. Doing really good. I'm good. Enjoying your show, and boy, I'm taking notes, too, I'll tell you.
Oh, good. I hope I didn't ramble too much tonight, but I figured that was a lot of good, helpful information.
It really is, love the fact. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, and I haven't talked for a full hour for a long time, so I guess I just had to do it. But go ahead, Tricia. What do you have?
Okay. All righty. So, for example, I have quite a few dinar to reval, and over the course of the last 2 years since I've had them, I've handled it a few times. You know, I've recounted it. I don't know. Just playing that silly little game that we sometimes go through with our ego. The point being this, serial numbers are all mixed up, and, of course, they're in Arabic, so you can't figure them out easily. I even have something I think that was downloaded from my supplier online, who was very reputable, but I still can't read the Arabic numbers. Also, I received some from a friend, which was in exchange for some services. I said I'll take some dinars, because at some point those are going to revalue. So he did, and of course I don't have a receipt for those that I received from my friend. I do know that he purchased from the same people that I did online, very reputable folks. So when you were talking about be sure to take your receipts, I've got them for the other ones that I have, but I don't from the one the friends gave me. And Then I've also given some away to somebody. And a few weeks ago, you were talking about, you know, giving to folks and so on. So mm-hmm. I'm scratching my head here about all these, are we going to have problems exchanging or changing currency exchange here if we don't have our ducks in a line with all of our proper receipts?
No, I wouldn't worry about it. First of all, the people that you gave it to, those people aren't going to call the 800 numbers. They're just going to walk into the bank and get market rate. You know, you're not going to go, you only have a couple of thousand dinar, you're not going to go in for an 800 number. Or I should say, if you do, they would probably put you way down at the bottom of the list, because those, they're wanting to deal with the people who have 100,000, a half a million, and millions of dinar and stuff like that for the 800 numbers on the contract rates. And it's not so critical that you have your receipts, because it's still up to the bank to prove that your currency is wrong. And you could, if you go into a place with an 800 number, they're probably going to have a Delarue machine there.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. They probably will, because the machine counts it very fastly. They're not going to sit there and count it by hand. You know, the machine can go through it just, you know, lickety-split, where it could take you forever to count it by hand. So they're probably going to have a Delarue machine there. And so that would take care of that issue.
Will those also be able to read the serial numbers to know that they're not counterfeit?
It's not so much that they need to read the serial numbers. It's just, if you walk in and if you've got brand new uncirculated currency and they can look and see that the serial number's in sequence, well, they know right off the bat, it's, you know, probably 99.9% certain it's not counterfeited currency.
But I don't know,
because it's brand new, it's crisp, it's sharp, it's in sequence number. I mean, they're just going to say, yeah, this is it. This is the real thing. And the tellers are going to be trained of what to look for. They look for a specific feel. They look for where the paper is raised. They look for certain markings. They'll hold it up. You know, the people like you and me are not the ones who really have the counterfeit currency. There's very, very little of the tier three people that are going to have counterfeit currency. The counterfeit currencies were going to be in the very high numbered people. The people that are going to be concerned about having counterfeit currency are the people who have a million or more dinar. That's what they're looking for.
Well, I have a million or more dinar, so.
You might. That's right. But I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't.
Okay,
if you know your currency is good.
Numbers.
I'm
concerned about the serial numbers because mine are kind of mixed up now. I mean, kept them in exact order. And, you know, although they will all be sequential when I hand them over and they find them all, but you see what I'm saying? They're not going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And many people would be keeping their dinars in exactly the same order that they received them 2 years ago if they've handled them at all? They probably have mixed up.
Here's the scoop. If you know you purchased your currency from a reputable online dealer, the burden is on them, not you. It's on them. Just take your receipts in with you.
Yeah.
Just take your receipts in with you, what you have. They may ask you, because, see, they're probably going to have a list of all the authorized dealers here in the United States, and they're going to say, who'd you buy your currency from? And you'll give them, well, ABC Company. Okay, you're good. You know, it's not that complicated. Don't worry about it that much. And that's how I might have I didn't intend to, but maybe I over-dramatized the need of being worried about counterfeit currency. If you know you purchased it from a reputable dealer, you're good to go. They're not that. Those people are professional and they're going to know.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to spot a counterfeit currency. They'll be able to spot it right off the bat because they're trained to do that. And they'll probably ask a couple questions like, you know, who's your dealer? Who'd you get it from? Do you have a receipt? And they'll look at it, and then they'll just look at it, probably put it in the Delarue machine, said, good to go. This is how much you have. This is what you get. This is what the exchange rate is. You know, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, even those that I received from a friend, and I have a receipt from him and signed that he had given them to me, et cetera, but there's no receipt of the numbers having come from that online supplier. It's just a handwritten receipt that we both signed and I had notarized of the amount that he gave me.
Tricia, in the end, this is no different than you going into the bank with a $100 Canadian bill and saying, I want American money. The only thing that's different is the country your currency is from and the amount.
Okay.
Think of it that way. That's all you got to do. It's really, it's not complicated. It's not, you know, it's not a big issue. The burden really is on them to prove that it's not a good currency, that it's counterfeit, and they're professionals who are trying to do that. So don't worry about it.
Okay.
Just don't worry about it. Let go of the fear or the worry. Yeah.
All righty. I just wanted to clarify. Okay. Thank you very much, Dave.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Have a good evening.
Yep. You too. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye. Yeah, folks, my apologies if I maybe I didn't intend to over-dramatize it about the whole issue of the counterfeit currency, but my understanding is that the people who were doing the counterfeiting, they did it in really huge, large sums and blocks of Iraqi currency, and they just needed to weed that stuff out before they got to you and I, the everyday folks. And the way it was explained to me was most of those people out there who are going to be taking the currency, they know that you and I, the everyday folks, we bought it from reputable certified dealers, and there's only so many of those in the country. Okay? Now, I'm going to go to the next caller. Next caller is with area code 480 with the first three numbers 406. Here you are. You're on the air with me. What's your name and where are you from?
Yeah, hi, Dave. This is Roy in Phoenix.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good.
Ryan or Roy?
Roy.
Oh, hi, Roy. We just had lunch the other day, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
That's right. What's up? Sure.
You know how you talk about the Dragon family and their gold and the richest family in the world and how they're backing all this? Now, if you take it into the conspiracy of 9/11, where their gold was stolen by the cabal and who knows where it is, why would they trust the banks right now funding all this money in the banks to fund the dinars? I would think they'd want to stay away from the banks.
There's a lot of white hats in the banks as well as black hats. Not all of them are bad. And my understanding is, now this is just my opinion, they have so much wealth and so much clout that any bank that tried to screw with them would be out to lunch and would probably be done. Because their wealth and their clout, they could basically come in and squash and shut down any bank they wanted to. A bank is not going to mess with them. The cabal doesn't have the power to mess with them. The way I understand it, this family is a multi-generation family that goes back thousands of years. This family was the first family of the Ming Chinese dynasties, and they have been waiting thousands of years for this time to come, and they understand now is the time. They understand the intent and the purpose of being the trustees of all of this wealth, and they don't care about it for themselves. They care about being in power. They care about the human race, and they say that we as a human race have now come to a point in an evolvement of our understanding, and we are ready to be able to receive massive wealth because we will share that wealth instead of hoard it. And they want to see it distributed to bring equality around the world, and they have the money to do that. And this is the first step of the releasing of all of that money. Now, banks are, yes, still the conduit and the funnel that the money has to go through to come to us. But my understanding is they have enough power and enough control and understand banking regulations well enough that they could shut it off in a heartbeat if they wanted to.
Okay.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Right.
This is and they've been very, very, very patient for thousands of years. They're not going to step in and make a mistake, a stupid mistake, in my estimation. So that's how I see it. Some people can see it differently. I don't worry about that stuff. I just don't.
Okay. The other countries around Iraq, I know you mentioned Kuwait and what their they were like 330 or 340 somewhere in that range. What are the other countries? What do you have any idea what their value is?
I don't know, but somebody said something about that when the global currency reset takes place, is that those countries in the Middle East are all going to revalue their currencies so they're all in the same ballpark of each other. So that you don't have, as a coalition of countries, that you don't have one or two that is more powerful and dominant than the others with their money. The issue is equality. And the Middle East countries do carry, I mean, they're the hotbed place of the world politically. They also carry the power of oil, as long as we're going to have oil. And so, but it's extremely important that they be in a place of equality, because what that does, it takes away the tensions of war. See, when you look at the conflicts between Israel and Palestine, and this is just my opinion, but if Palestine had the economic stability that Israel had, you wouldn't see them at war.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the huge economic difference where one has the power over the other, and the Palestinians, you know, their unemployment rate is 30% and 40%. They feel put out. They feel less. They feel like they're slaves to the others, and it creates a tension. When you give them economic equality, it takes away the tensions of the need for war. And that's what they want to do in the whole Middle Eastern region.
Okay. Sounds good. Do you have anybody else waiting, or could I ask another question?
No, go ahead. Yeah, got plenty of time.
Actually, it's not ask a question. I checked with my broker about, you know, how they protect clients' money. Now, if you have it in a stock, you're on your own. Whatever the stock does, it does.
Right, because the stock itself is the, is the form of the money. But,
right. Now, they do, let's say you have a lot of money and you have just sitting in your brokerage account, you can request that they sweep it into bank accounts, and they'll set up the bank accounts. And if you're worried about the FDIC, they'll see to it that, you know, no more than $250,000 is swept into any account. So if they have to use five banks or whatever, that's what they'll do. They don't charge you for that, and then they just pull the money in and out as you need to use it so that you're protected with the FDIC if that's going to be even viable.
Well, that's great. Who's your broker?
Have, Schwab, Charles Schwab.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And the other
that's
thing
good
that
news.
They have is, I'm sorry, the other thing that they
oh,
have
go ahead.
Is on, they have an online bank, and with their bank, it's still, you still have the FDIC protection of $250,000 for a Social Security number, but they don't charge you fees like all these other banks charge. So if I was everybody, I would check it out with their broker and see what they have, because you can use anybody's ATM. I shouldn't say anybody's, any other bank's ATM, and if they charge you a $3 processing fee or whatever, at the end of the month when all these things are brought in, they automatically credit it back to your account. They cover that. So there's no minimum. I mean, there is a minimum. I think it was $500. There's no, you know, you went under, over, you transferring money in and out and all these other fees. So it sounded like a pretty good idea. So I think everybody ought to just check that out themselves and, you know, see how that might work for them.
Yeah. Brokerage accounts are good places to put your money. Now, everybody needs to do what they feel is best for them, but if I was offering suggestions, I would say make sure you have more than one bank and start with your wealth manager at that bank. That's a professional who has a networking of people to give you professional services that they can refer you to. And what you want to do is develop a personal relationship with them and become friends with them. You need to educate yourself about how to handle your money and start there unless you already have somebody that you trust. And then do that with more than one bank so that you're developing a relationship with more than one person who can give you information, because sometimes they may differ in their opinions or they may say something that you're not aware of and the other will. So you have access to information that helps you learn how to educate yourself. And then what I do, see, then the majority of my money is put into my brokerage accounts and not my bank accounts.
Right.
That's where the majority of my money will be.
Right.
But okay. I have right now, I have three different banks. No, two banks, three accounts, and two brokerage accounts. So I have five different places I'm going to put my money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I have three bank accounts in two banks and then two different brokerage accounts. And I'm
right.
going to spread it around.
Right.
So,
okay. Very good. And it was
okay.
What I've seen so far on the Discovery Channel was a great show. We can't wait to finish seeing the rest of it.
Well, thanks. I think I hadn't got you totally yet on my email list, but I'll try to do that later tonight or tomorrow, and then I can get you the full program. Well, you can just go to my YouTube channel. It's posted there in my favorite.
We already got it. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah,
thank you, and I'll let you get on.
Okay, thanks, Roy.
I have a good night.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, okay, bye-bye. Folks, when it comes to putting your money in, putting into the banks, remember, you always need to do what's important for you. And when you have that kind of money, get the professional advice that you need, because you now have money to get that professional advice. And for many of you, you will have the opportunity to quit your jobs if you want to. And if you do, well, then your new job is learning how to be a millionaire. Learning how to manage your money. Take the time to educate yourself. Go to the seminars, the webinars, the workshops. Develop relationships with wealth managers at your banks. Get different opinions on all this stuff. That's a good, wise, prudent way to handle this. I was talking with a lady today, and I said, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I recommend. Everybody needs to do what's best for them. When my money comes in, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to spread it out in my three bank accounts and brokerage accounts. Then I'm going to go buy myself a new car, because I really need to have a new car, because my car is getting pretty old. It's kind of getting beat up. I'm going to go buy my new car. And then I'm going to give some of my money away to places I want to give it immediately, places that I know that can immediately use my money, the local food bank, the local homeless shelter, places like that. I'll give money away to family as I see necessary. And then I'm going to go on a short vacation for about a week to a week and a half. And then when I come back, my money's just going to be, the rest of my money's just going to be sitting. There's no urgency to do something with it overnight. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to do a lot of what you are going to do. I'm going to start my re-education process. And then I'm going to take the time to decide what I want to do with my money. Some of it will go into trust. Some of it will go to an account that I will keep there for myself, so I always have money, like maybe in an annuity that will always give me money for the rest of my life should something fall apart. Others I will give to other foundations right away. Some of it I'm going to put into my brokerage accounts, and I'll do with my trading, how I trade, how I do my market trading. And some of it's just going to sit until I decide what I'm going to do with it. But don't be urgent. Don't feel like you have to be in a hurry. Take the time that you need to make good decisions, comfortable decisions. Don't be irrational, and don't fall prey to your family and friends trying to beg money off of you because now you're a millionaire. That's one of the worst mistakes that you can make. What the best thing you can do is, before you get your money, write out a game plan so that you know what to do and stick to it unless you feel totally comfortable doing something different. Don't fall prey to unwise and foolish decisions. Okay? All right. I'm going to go to the next caller. Next caller has area code 510. Area code 510, you're here on the line with me. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, good. My name's Marina. I'm from Berkeley. And thank you so much for everything that you do. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. I just have one quick question. Is it okay to buy dinars still, or is it too late?
Oh, yeah. No. As long as you can go online and order from the brokers, and then they're giving it to you at the current price, you're good to go.
Okay. So if I... if I got it and then this went through and I didn't receive it yet, should I wait to call the 800 number or call and just book like when I think it's going to come?
Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to answer that question. Now, first of all, how long it's going to take you to receive it is dependent on the broker that you're using. But most of them will give you a notice of when they have shipped it. They'll give you a shipping notice, and then you can pretty much be guaranteed you're going to have it within a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you do what's best for you. If it comes in the next couple of days, you may want to schedule yourself out a week, as long as there's no hurry for you. And usually they're going to ask what your zip code is, and they're going to want to know, how much you have, and that's where they're going to know where they're going to refer you to. So, And a lot of this, we just don't know what's going to happen until it happens.
Yeah.
Don't be in a hurry and don't worry. Be calm, be in control.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay.
My pleasure. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Good night.
Take care. Good night.
Folks, I can't express how important it is in spite of everything that's being told about all the different things to do. Nobody knows, because these people who are saying this stuff, I'm asking, where are you getting your information? What makes you the authority that this is going to happen? Because I remember there was about a week and a half ago, there was this person that came out with this long list of things you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. And I'm saying, where did you get that information? There isn't a single piece of this that's verifiable. You try to call up the banks and they're all going to deny it. You see? So just, be patient. We'll know what's going to happen when it happens. We'll get the instructions when it takes place. So don't worry about all the details prior to them. Work through questions that you may have, but don't worry about details that we don't know, okay? I'm going to go on to the next caller. This caller is area code 918. Area code 918, you're here on the line with me. What's your name and where are you from?
Hey, Dave, this is Danny in Oklahoma.
How are you? I am doing good. Nice,
good,
to
Dave, and thank you for all your help.
Not getting interrupted. My pleasure.
Dave, are you going to have the 800 numbers for us on your website?
Yes. I will post them on my blog site, and I will send them to everybody that's on my email list.
Okay, and you're going to help us all through this, right?
I will, and I figured when it comes through, the first thing I'm going to do is take care of my own money, and I won't spend a lot of time to do it, and then my job is to help giving information. Just
great.
I'll start sending out newsletters. Who knows, you may get 5 from me in the first day. I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Okay.
But I'll post the 800, and I won't be the only ones posting it. There'll be a lot of people posting it. That's why I say watch the Dinar recaps, because they're a compilation of a lot of the different blog sites, and I don't agree with what comes out on Dinar recaps, but they're a good information source.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're a good information source. Yeah.
Okay. And I have a question as far as, I had two friends in two separate states have me order for them, and so I had it sent to me. The receipts are in my name, and they want me to help them through this process. Should I just go ahead and send their currency to them and say, start watching Dave? I've tried to do that. They don't do it. So what would your advice on that be?
Well, I'd say, that's a big question, because I don't know who they are and are they capable of doing it for themselves. And
they
sometimes,
are. But,
or are they just being lazy? You need to make that decision for what's best for you first.
Well,
that's
I just
what
didn't
I would
want
say.
To get in trouble. If I go to that state and help them cash it in, there should be no problem with that, right?
No problem at all. There really isn't any reason to go to that state unless they're just incompetent and can't do it themselves.
Sometimes I wonder. Right.
It's
just helping friends out.
I know. But you know what I would do? I'd ship them the money and the receipts and say, it's your business.
Okay, so even though the receipts are in my name and were shipped to me.
It doesn't make any difference whose name the receipt is in. It's just the fact that you got the money from a credible broker.
Right.
See, the name has nothing to do with it.
Okay, that's more my
concern. And it's only used as a back. And let me tell you why I said what I said. People who want us to step in and help us take care of their money, it's quite often it's because they don't have the confidence to do it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when you step in to take care of somebody else who doesn't have the confidence for themselves, they quite often are the people that are very irresponsible with their money. And when something goes wrong, they're going to find a reason to blame you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need that.
No.
If they're about ready to become a millionaire, maybe help a couple steps. And then, now again, you need to do what's best for you.
Right.
I want to emphasize that.
Thank you.
But I've had people, I get emails, people say, Dave, I don't know what to do. Would you please help me with this? I had a guy that is going through a divorce, and he wanted me to take his 3 million dinar and hold it so his ex-wife wouldn't get it through the divorce proceedings. And I'm saying, are you, I didn't say this to him, but I'm thinking in the back of my mind, are you crazy? I'm not stepping into the middle of your dispute with you and an ex-wife. The next thing you know, I find myself in court too because I'm holding an R. And he was desperate. He was saying, oh, please, please. And I'm saying, you know, I'm sorry, but that's your business. Because see, my experience over the years is if people are unstable about money, when something goes wrong, they're going to find someone else to blame. And the first person they're going to blame is the person who had a good intention to help them. So just, they may be your best friends, you may have a great relationship with them, and that's fine, but if they're going to become a millionaire, they have to learn how to be a millionaire. And they
Correct.
Need to take responsibility for themselves, you know? You do what's best. You know the situation. You know the lay of the land, and I don't. But I'm just sharing some thoughts. I'm always very, very cautious about stepping in and taking care of money for other people who are competent to take care of it for themselves. Because part of becoming wealthy is learning how to step and become your own person to handle the wealth. And if they don't want to do it, it's a display of insecurity that they need to learn how to grow through. Because if they're insecure about money now, they'll be insecure about money when they get their $1 million. And how do they grow out of that if they aren't? It's kind of like, you know, you can't hold the child's hand when they're 40 years old. At some point in time, they need to let go. You know? And the child can't hold on to mom's apron strings forever. And people are that way about money.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let go of the apron strings, but they won't let go of the money strings.
Right.
So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that insight.
Did that help?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I don't want to sound sarcastic, and I don't want to sound too negative, but that's just me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just coming from experience of things that I've observed. So.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good. All righty. Thanks for calling. Okay. Good night. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah. Folks, I don't have anybody else here who's waiting for a call. So here's what it is. I've got 20 minutes left on the program tonight. I don't want to talk for another 20 minutes. I should say, I don't want to talk to myself and everybody else. I went on a lot tonight. I am more than willing to say, hey, if you got a question, if you got a comment, if you want to say something, get on the line. The number is 646-716-8069. Press number 1, and I'll come in, and we'll take care of you. You'll be the first one in line. You won't have to wait to be able to say anything. But beyond that, if I don't get somebody coming up in the next 30 seconds to a minute, I'm ready to call it an evening. But before I do that, today is December 18th. That means 1 week from tonight is Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Christmas night. So we won't have a program next week, folks. I'm not going to have a program on Christmas night nor New Year's Day. I will have a special program if the RV happens. You can be fairly well guaranteed that when the RV happens, I will have a radio program within a day or two, and I may even do it 2 or 3 days in a row, because I figured that's when everybody got their questions, and that's what I'm here to do. I love what I'm doing. I'm glad to help you. Now all of a sudden, I have 3 callers, 4 callers. So here we go. I'm going to the next caller with the number 011905. Are you calling? Might be calling from overseas. There's a phone. Hi, you're on the air with Dave. Who do I have? What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, it's Sharon from Toronto calling.
Hi, I figured it had to be overseas. It was 011, so I shouldn't say overseas, out of country. Toronto's not overseas. I'm sorry.
No,
my apologies.
Not quite. Not yet, anyway. Dave,
all these wonderful
have,
Canadians.
You may have covered this question, and if you did, I missed it, and I do apologize, but I don't recall it being addressed this evening. I've heard so much emphasis placed on the 30 days. You got, you know, 30 days to do this, and like 15 or 18 days have already gone by, and meanwhile, the numbers still haven't come out, and so you're only going to have like maybe 4 or 5 days if you're lucky, because if you don't get it done by the 31st of December, you're going to lose out on the best rate.
I wouldn't worry about it. Now, first of all, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And the people that are saying, I can't give all the details, and I need to be really careful about what I say. But people who are pushing that and wanting you to rush and get in there within a couple of days, there's an ulterior motive reason for that. My understanding is they think that rates are going to be flexible, and that those that get in really early will have a lesser, smaller rate, and the rate may go up, and that there's a motivation behind that because people then can buy it and turn around and retrade it and get, you know, the spread and higher fee off of it as well.
Right.
I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't, you know, it's one of those things, nobody knows what's going to happen until it happens. And don't worry about that stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's really unfair to put that kind of pressure on people because we don't know. And secondly, who's to say that the rate won't go up after the 30 days?
Right, it could. See, we just don't know. What I'm being told, and I really trust sources that come to me, is that, yeah, there's going to be a contract rate and there's going to be a market rate. But the difference between the rates is not going to be as big as what people think it's going to be. And market rate is just, it's just like, you know, you're a Canadian, you come to the United States and you want to exchange a Canadian $100 bill for some American money. It's just the same thing. It's just, it's a different currency of a different country and you got a higher amount. And if you walk in and get the market rate, that's all it is. It's that simple.
Yeah. And you know, I recall in the beginning when I got in 3 years ago, I was ecstatic with the $3 rate.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all this and it's been all of this, I guess, the blog talk discussions that have gone up that have just, I don't know, raised everybody's expectations or hopes or whatever. But, you know, something has changed within even the thoughts of the people that have purchased this dinar and gone into it. It's almost like it's changing us if we allow it.
Well, I think, this is just my opinion, I think part of what's happening is it's an opportunity for people to evolve because money impacts our lives.
Absolutely.
Few things have more impact on our lives than money, and how you handle money and how you view money has a lot to do with who you are as a person and how you view life and how you live your life. And are you still living a life of greed, saying, I got to have more, got to have more, got to have more? Or are you content right where you are? All the spiritual masters were people of contentment. They didn't allow the day-to-day drama to affect them. They just said, well, it's just what is. It's just what is. If it's 6 cents, it just what is, and they were peaceful about it. If it's $32, it's just what is, and they were peaceful about it. And they and their lives were under control. And we should be aspiring to that, to be a person who comes to the point where the drama of all the drama that goes on in our minds doesn't dominate and control our lives. That's what creates stress. That's what creates a lot of the sicknesses and the illnesses that we have, is because the sickness and the illness is an outgrowth of an energetic balance with inside of yourself, because you're not at peace within yourself.
Oh, yes, I would agree.
See, they're just definitely outward manifestations of the inward conflict. And the importance for all of us is to bring ourselves to the place of peace where we don't have that inner conflict. So whether it's going to happen tomorrow or next year, I'm at peace. Whether it's going to be 6 cents or $38, I'm at peace. And whether I'm going to be a millionaire or not, I'm at peace. Because I'm in control of my world, and I'm not letting the world control me. And what the cabal does is what the cabal does, and I'm still at peace. They don't control my state of being and my happiness and my joy.
Exactly. And I think our state of gratitude is a foregone statement with all that you've said.
It sure is.
Yeah. And
okay.
Thank you for that. I needed to hear that to ground myself again, because it's just sometimes we get caught up in too much information from too many different camps, and it's just too easy to fly away with it.
It sure is. Thanks for calling. I don't mean to cut you short, but now I didn't have anybody, and now I got five more callers. I want to try to get them in before we're done. All right, thanks. Okay, night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Next caller I'm going to is area code 608-608. You're on the line with me. What's your name? Where are you from? Oh.
Hello?
Are you coming? Oh, there we are. Okay, yeah.
Okay,
how
hi.
Are you?
I'm calling from Wisconsin, and this is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I just have a question. I know dinar is the big talk. but I just wanted to see if you have an update on the dong at all.
Yeah, I asked those guys last night about the dong, and remember, these guys are really, to me, they're in the know guys. They just don't post it and say it out there. But they say they don't have definitive information on the dong. Dong is dependent upon the global currency reset, where the dinar is not. They do think they're still both going to happen at the same time. And they do say the rates being reported on the dong is 47 cents.
Okay.
Now, that was the rate that it was all the way back in the summer when the rates were stable, before these rates got really crazy. And so those rates have been very, very stable. In my understanding, there is not a contract for the dong. The dong will be just a market rate.
Okay.
But that's not etched in stone, but that's what I understand.
Right. Okay. I just haven't heard too much on it lately, so I just wanted an update, and I thank
you
so much.
The problem is that we just don't get any intel on it. There's no specific intel on the dong, because it is a current tradable currency in the open foreign market, but it will change when the global currency reset takes place.
Okay.
And it's dependent upon that. So that's why we don't get other information on it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks. All right. Okay, good night.
Bye.
Okay, going to the next caller, area code 214. Area code 214, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave, this is Bob. I'm also on the chat room. I just want
Bob.
To make it a little bit lighter.
hey, I could use one.
I don't know if you know Steve Berman. He's Swami Vyandananda. He said, you know, when Swami was asked one time, what do you think about extraterrestrials? He said, well, we have plenty of terrestrials. We don't need any extra.
That's a good one. Thanks. Hey, Bob, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate that you always come on the chat room there really quick. You're one of the first ones there, and it's kind of like, Okay, if I need some help, I can go to Bob on the chat room. You're always there as my backup. I want you to know that. And I really appreciate that. So, yeah, good. Okay, anything else?
Well, just, you know, if you talk to your people, let them know that, you know, some people like me are hurting. You know, but anyway, that's, now I don't want to get into a gloom and doom, but, you know, there's a lot of people that are in desperate situations that they need the money. Yeah. So,
well, they don't control it.
They
don't control the wind, so and I know there are. Yeah. So
anyway.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, okay, good night. Yeah.
Good night.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the next caller, and it's all ones across the board, so I can't really say, you know, your area code other than it says 111. And that's usually mean that you might be calling in on Skype. But you're here on the air with Dave. What's your name and where are you from? Hello? I'm hearing some clicking in the background,
hello?
But I'm... Oh, there we are. Hello, who we have here? I'm hearing something
hello?
Now. Okay, hello, how are you? Are you there?
Oh, hi, Dave. I'm not sure whether it's me you're talking to or not.
Oh, yeah, it's you. I'm here with you. You're with me. You're on the air.
I'm 416 from Toronto, Canada.
Oh, okay.
My question has just been answered. I was going to ask about the dong, but I thought I should give you a bit of information. I had a terrible time getting through to you for the first 20 minutes. I would connect, I'd hear your voice, and then it would go dead. And this happened about 20 times. So just for your information, I thought you should know that. Okay.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
The question, though, is it really worthwhile trying to go after a lowering of the spread at this stage?
I know you understand
what I mean.
You mean to go after the market rate versus the contract rate?
The bid and the ask.
Oh, well, this on foreign exchange that you take it into a bank, there is no bid and ask because there's just an exchange fee. And we don't know what that fee is going to be. It's like if you have a Canadian $100 bill and you come here to the United States with it and want to exchange it, they'll give you the current rate plus the exchange fee, minus the exchange fee. They'll take it out. And that's their handling fee. But there's no bid and ask on those. Because it's not like trading stocks or bonds or anything like that where there's a bid and an ask.
Okay.
Unless I'm misunderstanding something and I got something wrong, I've never heard of, you know, your foreign currencies as a bid and ask. That's on there when there's an open market and you're trading it as a trader versus exchanging it. And those are two different things.
Okay.
If you're trading the market, the foreign exchange market, as a trader, it's trying to make money as the rates change, then yes, there's a bid and ask in that. But you're not doing that here. You're bringing in physical currency, just exchange it for American money or Canadian money. That's all that you're doing. So there is no bid and ask. Unless there's something that I don't know and I misunderstand. But that's how I understand it.
No, don't worry
okay.
about it. You have others wanting to talk to you, so I thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Okay, thanks a lot. Good night. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good night.
Okay, and now I'm going to the last caller that I have here. If somebody else wants to come in, I still have a couple more minutes. But this caller is from area code 970. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Yeah, I'm Greg from Durango, Colorado.
Okay. Hi, Greg.
Dave. Hi, how are you? I was reading an article a while ago. It was from Iraq. And they were talking about all their infrastructure and all the people investing in Iraq and how much wealth they had, all their mining, their oil, their natural gas, It was talking about all their banking, but never once in all those articles did it mention the dinar. I just wonder, you know, it told about their two main banks. It told about how stable their economy is and how much money they had, but it never mentioned the dinar. I wonder why they wouldn't.
Well, there's been
never been mentioned.
Where did you, first of all, my first question is, where did you see it? Who was the media source that put it out?
You know, I don't know. It was, I got something on my phone from Blanche.
Okay.
And it was,
but if it's coming through your traditional mainstream media, there's a media blackout on the RV and the exchange. You can't find hardly anything about that anywhere at all. So what they're talking about is the traditional means that goes on when you want to invest in a company, when you want to invest in growth and expansion because of the construction that's to take place there. You know, that would be your traditional Wall Street type of an investment, to invest in a growth country. And that's what they were talking about. And obviously the currency exchange is not a part of that, because Wall Street teaches the, is treating the currency exchange as either a scam or speculation. I mean, that's how
okay.
they're treating it. They didn't even talk about it. And it was back in June that I saw the real evidence of the organized media blackout, because on June 27th, that was the day that the United Nations voted to take Iraq out of Chapter 7 status. I went online to the UN website, and they have what is called live web TV. And they basically, it runs all day long that they're there, and they have this TV about all the events that's going on. I just missed the vote, but I saw them breaking up and come walking out of the room, and for 7 minutes I listened to the Iraqi foreign minister give his press release about the vote that just took place. So I basically was able to watch live the proceedings of the vote. For the next 3 days, I scoured the internet looking for a story in mainstream media that said this vote took place, and I couldn't find one anywhere. This is the type of situation that should have made the news on at least every business page across the country, let alone on the front page of every major newspaper across the country. This was major news. This is what we went to two wars over Iraq with, and it was now undone. You think that would be a news story. Not a blip anywhere.
All day.
But guess what was in the news the next day, in the newspapers, on the internet, and they talked about it for 5 minutes on CNBC. The next day,
what?
Citibank announced that they're opening up a bank and branch in Baghdad, and they were the first American bank to open up in Iraq. Now, that
yeah,
was big enough news. That was big enough news for CNBC to talk about it for 5 minutes. It was on all business pages almost all around the country, but yet the vote didn't get a blurb anywhere. That's when I saw that there is an organized media blackout on this thing.
Yeah, when I,
so
I
you're
saw
not,
that Citibank advertised, and when I saw that, it did give me a glimmer of hope that this was real.
Yeah, right. So that's when I realized that, you know, the media, the mainstream corporate media is owned and controlled by the cabal. Okay, I need to be wrapping up. I only got about a minute
All right,
left, so anything
you.
Else really quick?
No, thank you very much. Appreciate what
okay,
you're doing.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Goodbye. Okay, folks, thank you. Boy, it was nice to be back on the air for a regular program for a 2 full hours. Did a lot of talking tonight, but, you know, I like to share what I have to say. And, you know, send me your comments and through the email. You can email me at daveschmidt@msn.com or the Sedona Connection at msn.com. Either one of them comes through. Again, you know, the blog site, the Sedona Connection, .wordpress.com, and email me and I'll put you on my email list. I'm usually sending out, you know, newsletters twice a week. So, okay, no regularly scheduled program next week because it's Christmas, nor the week after New Year's. But if something happens, if the RV takes place, folks, I'll send a newsletter. I'll put stuff on my blog site, and I'll run special programs. I may be running these programs 1, 2, 3, 4 nights in a row. As long as you folks are calling and you got a lot of questions and you want what to do, I'll do the best that I can. I'm here for you on that. I love what I do. I thank you for your support. And just really quick also to know, it's your contributions that help me keep going. So I make what you send to me. So, okay, thanks a lot, and good night, folks.